This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
I'm getting us started, Adam.
It's 5:15.
Oh,
it's,
I thought you were...
It's dark outside.
That's what happens when you move up north.
Kind of dark, but like dark.
When I lived in Washington for that year, this time of year, it was like, oh, I'm coming home from work and it's already dark. So, all right. Well, we're recording. So it is the Nerdcast episode 235, brought to you by Geek Garage, geek-garage.com, to check out all the awesome geek vehicles. And for the first time in such a very long time, we bring you all four of the Nerdcast team. Bob, Adam, Tyler, myself, Iggy. We're all here. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, y'all.
It's Bob.
It's
Bob's
voice
right
on a Nerdcast. We are not digitally putting this in. He is actually here. We can take a snapshot of the meeting to prove it.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Glad things have finally settled down in my life.
From your new place. You're in Kansas City now.
I am. I had to get out of
Manhattan. He's at this address, every listener. No, just say.
I am actually in Kansas City, same city with Tyler. Haven't seen him yet. But of course, you know, I moved to Kansas City because I think, oh, right, I could see more movies. I could see theater. I could see concerts. And of course, I moved right at the very beginning of the COVID pandemic.
Right. So, yeah. This is where I got my new earbuds to go running in at the gym. And yeah, they're making good for podcasts, I guess. But
you guys haven't changed at all, except for Iggy. His beard's a little crooked, a little to the side.
Yeah. So I'm going to be honest. I've only been out of bed for about 22 minutes at this point.
That's what I was going to say.
Asleep. If you can't see the bags are always big under my eye, but they're really big right now. It is a bright white here. As you're talking about, it's dark over there in London. It is snowing and it's starting to pick up. So, which we need here in Colorado with those fires. So I think one of them's finally contained. The two other ones, though, are the largest that the state has ever seen, and they're on a path to merge. So really hope this snow goes heavy here in the mountains.
I mean, you guys are basically a bad sci-fi apocalypse movie right now, right? Like, I mean, it's going to
the whole
turn
country
into this crazy, like storm, like double fire merging snow tornado.
What's the what Sharknado Sharks? Are we on, Bob? Yeah, I was going to ask.
Somewhere 5 or 6 or 7.
Okay.
I lost track.
Sharknado 7, Colorado, something like that. Well, we have plenty to talk about because it's been a couple weeks again since we met. I know the TNA show came back 2 weeks ago. Adam and Tyler got together for a little update, but we do have some interesting things. Obviously, the biggest thing we do want to mention before we get started, which all of our podcasts have been talking about, is we are just a week away from the 2020 big election here. So we want you to get your asses out there and vote. If you haven't registered, in some states you still can register. Like Colorado, you can register right up till you vote.
You're kidding.
You can walk up to it, which really funny story for you in a second on that. But basically, if you aren't registered, check out, go to iwillvote.com, go to vote.com, go to rockthevote.com, go to just Google search vote and figure out when you can register, how you can early vote and all that stuff. Ignore all the misleading information and the bullshit from the person who's supposed to be leading this country and understand that your vote counts. The mail-in vote counts. All of it counts. So get your ass out there. Be the change. Are they saying right now that's really good? If it's worth fighting over, if it's worth protesting over, hell, if it's worth bitching about on social media, it's worth voting over. So head on out there. Do it. We got the vote thing out of the way. A lot of pop culture stuff going on right now too, actually. So I don't know. Tyler's still, I did too. I saw that. I saw your wife posted your mail-in ballot vote. Yeah, I shared the picture with you with what we believe could be voter intimidation tactics of the gentleman hanging out outside my Dropbox. I don't.
They're just doing what he told them to do, man.
I guess so. So I am. What are we? Oh yeah. Oh, Tyler, you did add a huge one there too. I almost forgot about it. The Quibi dying on the news thing there. So yeah. So hard to change from vote, but I guess this is another serious topic. We've lost a streaming service, one that we thought would live on forever. Did we? No. Okay. No. It only lived.
Tyler and I got to talk about it a bunch. You didn't get to talk about it much. Tyler and I talked about it a lot, and we couldn't figure out why it was a thing.
$2 billion. Quibi.
Oh, it just amazing. Well, I mean, yeah. We talked about it on the podcast a few different times, but it was not a great idea. But at the same time, it's hard to know if it would have had legs if it hadn't gotten launched in the middle of a pandemic, because the whole premise was like, it's content where you want it, when you need it, like when you're commuting or when you're on the train or when you've got your stand at the bus stop with your phone in your hand. And it turns out no one did any of those things the last 6 months. But at the same time, like, I mean, all the content on it will get sold off and may pop up in other sources, but I don't know if there was a big drive for, you know, 12-minute episodes of weird and all the stuff was very clearly like they threw money at people who just had any idea whatsoever and any name recognition and said, go nuts, have fun. And some of it looked interesting, some of it looked dumb, but none of it looked like super...
I have to watch this stuff.
I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but none of it looked like super, not engaging, but... You know, I wasn't inspired to be like, man, I need to see that. Although I kind of want to watch the Anna Kendrick one with the sex doll. That one actually does look kind of good.
Well, but no, it was $2 billion more. It launched at $2 billion. They probably definitely spent a lot more over the past 6 months. What was it? The one time we did talk about it back in the spring was like a week after it launched. Executive in charge of the entertainment, whatever her title was, like stepped down almost immediately. Like it was... I don't know. It seemed doomed from the start, pandemic or no pandemic. I just don't. First of all, you hold your device vertical to watch these videos. Like I don't. There was nothing about it that
you can hold it both, right. And it automatically fits it.
Does it?
New technology. That was the whole thing. It was new technology. If you turn it sideways, you turn it upright, it adjusts not automatically. Man, it was a whole thing.
So director's intent is gone for your aspect ratio, then, huh? If it's changing back and forth.
Yeah, Nolan wasn't knocking down the door to direct anything for them, that's for sure.
I mean, going both directions is a little bit weird, but you can do cool stuff with vertical. I know, what is it, Damien Chazelle, he did a really cool film for Apple that only shot it only on iPhones, and he shot it only vertically, and it was like a stuntman, so it was a lot of stuff. You can find it on YouTube, and it's a lot of videos of like, this, it's like a stuntman, so lots of falls like vertically through the screen, and a lot of like cool stunts and stuff like that. It's really cool.
Yeah, I've seen some of that. That does look cool.
All right, so did anybody watch... any of us, Bob, you'd be the one I would expect to have gotten a subscription. No? Okay.
I did get a subscription.
See, you just didn't watch it?
I just didn't watch it. I mean, it was like, I have better things to watch.
And that right there is how a $2 billion streaming service dies.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, they made the money.
If I'm going to watch something, I'm going to watch a long version, not just 12-minute chunks. You know, I have had a hard enough time trying to watch The Boys every week.
I mean, that's really the thing, right? So they launched, not only did they launch it timing wise was questionable and unfortunate for them, but everything's gone to a binging culture.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, exactly. People were fighting against Disney Plus with the week rolling release of Mandalorian, and you're seeing it now also on Netflix. So they're doing, you know, week to week releases. We just trained literally the entire world to binge watch television shows in, you know, half hour long TV shows and do them 5 or 6 or 7 episodes at a time. Why did they think we needed a 15-minute version of all of that stuff? It seemed bizarre right from the jump for me.
Yeah, it was interesting for sure. But sticking with streaming, if you guys do want to watch something a little bit longer, obviously this season fell apart, and the Dune news was probably obviously the most heartbreaking for the group here.
Gut-wrenching.
We've been waiting for Bond, and more importantly, part of what's waiting for Bond is that all the rumors that a new Bond to replace him has been waiting to be announced, like that they already have the deal done. We don't know for sure. So Sony seems to be shopping Bond to go straight to streaming. Netflix and Apple seem to be the only two services still talking to him because they want $600 million, which globally, I'm sure the Bond film was going to make more than $500 million, right? So I can see why they would want it. But I think before this, I haven't had enough time to look it up, but if I remember correctly, I think our next highest thing was that $325 million that Apple paid, I can't even remember which director, for the mystery one, like about a year ago. That's, I think, I don't know. Netflix, obviously, we don't ever know true numbers behind things, but $600 million, do you think Netflix, Apple, any of them are going to put that money up?
I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix does. I just, you know, it's such a well-known name. I mean, anyone can, you know, they're gonna make their money back in spades. They're just gonna get a lot of or new subscriptions and stuff like that from it. If they aren't now, because there's such good movies out there now.
Yeah, I'm really curious. Like, sure, they'll get some people, but I mean, how many people have to subscribe, and how long do they have to stay subscribed for them to make $600 million.
Just as long as they don't pull a Mulan thing that Disney Plus did.
Well, I'm wondering, could you do something like, we'll give you access to it if you pay for the year up front? Instead of a month contract, pay for the year up front, and they'll get a big chunk of cash right away, keep those people, and you know.
Yeah, well, and Apple's been throwing money at people left and right just to put stuff on their program to get people interested in it. But at the same time, Apple gave their service away for free with new programs. Because when you talk about Apple services, like Apple services are good and they have a really good, I mean, a lot of the services like Apple Music is really cool. Apple TV Plus is really cool. I love Ted Lasso. It's one of my favorite shows on streaming right now. I didn't think I would like it, but everything about it is just delightful and heartwarming and beautiful. But you buy the phone, you get the service, and the more services you get, you're in with Apple, the more locked into the ecosystem it is. It's like Apple doesn't necessarily need to make their, I mean, they're more than happy to take your subscription payment for Apple TV Plus, but at the same time, like if it means you got a new Apple TV or a new Apple iPhone or a new Apple whatever, like then they've done their thing. And they're now offering like bundles. Apple's offering Apple One, where it's like, here's your music and your thing and then this and then this and then this, and we'll bundle all together and call it a day. And so, I mean, it works. But they've thrown some huge chunks of money at developers just to like put their name on the thing. So I don't know. We'll see. But this is not the first, like, movies, like the word on the street is like there's so many studios that are just strapped for cash, can't start production, can't stop production, can't put movies like that are just shop. I mean, there's apparently just stacks and stacks of movies in the can at all these production companies that they're just like trying to find anyone who'll give them something for them at this point.
Yeah. We've seen a number already go over. I don't even remember. There's been enough of them that I don't even remember what was the recent one that talked about. I do have a few on the list. Obviously, The Trial of Chicago 7, I don't think was originally intended for Netflix. I don't know if it was, pretty sure it was after the pandemic started when they made the sale, but ended up being an incredible movie. Obviously, HBO is picking up things left and right. A big notable one was that Seth Rogen pickle movie or whatever it was, like, and the Snyder Cut, which we will get to, don't worry fans, we will get to our DCEU bashing here in some time, but it is definitely something that's happening. We did joke about it last time I was on the show that we were talking about, I really wanted the French Dispatch to get picked up, and Tyler pointed out a good thing that Wes Anderson really comes off as the Christopher Nolan type, that he's big into the theater releases and stuff, so
the sanctity of film is, he's pretty right. Big into the sanctity of film like Nolan is, so I don't see that ever happening.
So I would be up for Bond. I didn't want Tenet. I'm still willing to wait for Tenet, even with the mixed reviews and everything, because that anything Nolan, especially when the IMAX cameras pulled into the mix, I want to see it in a theater. So my son's been driving me crazy about renting out a whole theater to go watch it, but it's I don't want to see that on a small screen. Bond being an action movie, I would lean more towards seeing initially in the theater, but I would watch that on streaming pretty quickly. The dramas, though, the award contenders and stuff, yeah, give them to the stream. Like, let us watch them on our TV. I don't need those all to be in the big theater thing. So we get more of those. I'm happy to see them.
Yeah, I'm about this close to. I was talking to some friends, and I think I might end up renting out a theater. I don't know what we'll watch yet. Tenet's a little bit expensive, depending on which theater chain you go through, as opposed to some of the older movies that you can get. But it's a good chance that might be the one we choose. And next month and have a pre-Thanksgiving / multiple birthday party, 20 person party in a theater to ourselves.
It looks like a good deal. Here, the problem is the closest, there's only two Cinemarks of all the Cinemarks doing it in the Denver area. And now that AMC is doing it, the newer movies cost like a considerable amount more than what Cinemark is, which, because AMC just needs any dime they can get at this moment before they collapse into oblivion. But it's a little more difficult here.
So how much is the theater with Tenet running?
I think upwards of about $200, depending on AMC just got into the business too. Theirs is more expensive than Cinemark's, but Cinemark, you can get a whole theater for $100 if you choose from their list of like pre-approved older movies. Then there's a bigger list of like movies that you have to give them 10 days notice of. It's $200 to rent it for those. And then there's some newer releases that you have to basically like get a quote. You basically have to call it and be like, wow, Hey, here's how many people, here's the date, and they'll tell you if it's available and how much it is.
Right. Yeah. So I think both, and including Alamo Drafthouse and select locations, all of them have that $100 list, that predetermined, we have the rights to show these at any time, right? That the studio's not taking a whole bunch of money from them. But those newer releases are varying from company to company. And AMC, the hard part with AMC is until you fill out the form completely, they don't really give you a price right away on these newer releases. And it says anywhere from, I think it's like $200 to $350. And it's my understanding the $350 side is if you run out an IMAX theater. like, right. So obviously, but still that $200 to $300 range, that's an expensive movie ticket, guys. Like yeah. that's, and especially around here again, where we're already, like I talked about before we started recording, we're already limiting personal social gatherings again to now 5 people and 10 people in some counties. I don't know if that means that theaters are allowed to say you can bring 20 people in here and split a $200 bill, you know, or if now you're splitting a $250 bill between 5 people.
Yeah, I'm not doing it if it's not, you know, 15, 20 people.
Yeah, so. Tenet's good. I don't know if I drop $50 on it.
Mm. Right. I feel like my son would right now. Like he definitely yeah. would. But I'm with you on that one, Adam. Since we're talking movies and theaters real quick, and not a lot of MCU news obviously happening, but Natalie Portman is teasing social media that she will obviously become Lady Jane, excuse me, will become Thor in Love and Thunder, which I think we all already knew, especially when she walked out in San Diego Comic-Con 2019 with Mjolnir, like holding it up high. And no real surprises, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing like little littered teases across the next 6 months or so for different MCU things by celebrities that are not big teases, but enough to just, they're like, wait a second, we haven't released a movie in a year. We need to make sure these people are still going to pay us $1 billion. Like, we need $1 billion. So I don't know. I think that's what's going to be there. But maybe it's because, I don't know, Tyler, is it because the DC Extended Universe is just, they're just killing the headlines right now? I mean, that Zack Snyder cut, it's going to be a big deal.
Oh, my God. Listen, I mean, I'm happy for people that are excited for it, but I have never watched a Snyder movie and said, like, God, you know what this could have done with? 3 extra hours. or less. Right. Or less. I mean, here's the thing. He's like, we've beat the shit out of Snyder, you know, ad nauseum on here. We've talked about his highs, his lows, all his foibles, all his, you know, things he's good at, things he's not good at. But I don't need a 4-hour version of this movie that wasn't, I don't see it getting better. Unless they're, I don't know. There's just so much to unpack with it. It's, I don't need 4 hours of it in episodes. I definitely don't. I mean, any hope that I had of it being anything less than a, you know, hubris-filled cash grab was put to rest by the fact that they've now announced that Jared Leto is going to be in it as the Joker. They're bringing him back because everyone loved him in everything yep. he's been in.
Favorite Joker.
Jesus. For sure. And then the one I'm actually kind of excited about is I felt so bad for Joe Manganiello. Because he got to show up in one after credit scene as Deathstroke, and it was kind of exciting. I'm like, man, he'd be a cool Deathstroke. I'd get down with that. I'm excited he gets to be in it because I'm upset that he got done wrong by the DC Universe. But otherwise, there's nothing about this that I will give it a I mean, I subscribed to HBO Max, so I'll try to watch the first episode. I don't see myself watching all 4 of them. But, you know, maybe here's the thing. Maybe I'll be completely wrong. Maybe this will be the greatest thing ever. It'll totally change the whole,
wait,
you know, the
I think whole this is news to Adam it. That it's, did you not, Adam, but did you not know it was going to be 4 pieces?
No. Why?
Yeah. It's because they changed it to a miniseries because of how much footage is available. Then I just, Tyler, when you were explaining that, I saw Adam's face and I'm like, wait a second. Adam does not realize that this has been extended into a miniseries.
Well, I mean, okay. So run me through this then from Zack Snyder initially starting this, whatever this was, a decade ago. It seems like it's been going on forever. So he's going to make a Justice League movie. Everybody's excited about it. He starts making right. a Justice League movie, has to go off for personal reasons. They finish it with other people. And the amount of
hold
changes
on. That
let's
they
put
made. Let's put a footnote right there too. By finishing it with other people got more control of other projects that were in pre-production, which became more favorable, like Aquaman and Shazam. So just a footnote there that Snyder being out of those projects also made them different and more favorable.
Right, open the door ahead. And we got probably right. better movies, right? So, but the changes that they made to Justice League were enough that he needs to make another, so what are these, maybe 4-hour-and-a-half long movies?
Here's the thing. I'm 100% convinced that the Snyder Cut did not exist. It's not a thing. It's not a real thing.
Mark, he's putting into it, yeah.
But it was this weird hashtag fanboy, all these like DCU defenders who were convinced that there was this secret version of the movie that was amazing and the greatest movie ever made that was ruined by Joss Whedon. And it became this weird internet cult-like thing. And then DC leaned into it and said, you know what? I mean, there seems to be a lot of groundswell around this. Maybe we should do something. And because of it, now we're back. We're stuck back with Zack Snyder and 4 hours of a movie we've already seen before. So...
But I agree, Tyler. Like, how did you have a cut if you're having to bring this many people for reshoots or new shoots? How you're spending this much more money? I agree. There couldn't have
been. Go back and search the word Snyder Cut and read any of the articles written about it 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago. Everyone's like, stop being stupid. This thing doesn't exist. Anyone who's calling for it's an idiot. And then, but it just kept going. And these are the same kind of people that just, I don't know. I don't, we talk about like these, some of these crazed bands. These are the same kind of people who hate this and hate that. And, you know, I don't know. These are the people who fucking ruined Star Wars for everyone. And
they, the people that are
convinced that Brie Larson is the Antichrist. And
what's the episode? Sort of which episode of Harley Quinn is it where they're on the
couch? God, it's a good, good episode of Harley Quinn.
You know so much about it, why don't we just watch it? Well, I guess we could watch it. But I mean, it's just ridiculous that they would give her a show. Like, it's like, so yeah, I agree. I just, you don't put this much work and this much filming and this much money into something that existed. You're exactly right, Tyler. There was no Snyder cut. And now Snyder is not only, like you said, did they lean into it, they gave Snyder permission. And Snyder's like, well, now everybody, I got it all in my court right now. So he feels like he can probably just do or say anything he wants here and get it. Like, Warner Brothers is going to hand it to him. And that's how you get 5 hours, 6 hours. I don't even know how many hours we're talking about right now, because we still haven't filmed it all. It still hasn't been filmed. We still are bringing people back to get scenes.
What's the budget on this thing? Has that ever been announced
yet? Yeah, it was initially. How much was it? Do you remember, Tyler, Adam? It was.
I don't even know.
It was something like $100
bajillion dollars.
No, it was something like $60 to $100 million, I think, like to finish his cut or something.
Well, yeah. Because all of, you have to do all new special effects. You have to do all new post-production. That CGI is going to look
real good.
It can't look worse than the CGI from the first Justice League, where they had to cut out the mustache and.
But you don't spend less money and expect to do better.
These new characters. Like I said, the Joker's going to be at it. Darkseid is now a big character, because apparently the lesson learned was not, oh, we introduced all these people too quickly, was we didn't introduce enough big characters.
Right, like, that was obviously the lesson.
We obviously, in the very first Justice League movie, in which we're meeting, you know, some of these characters for the first time, we definitely need Darkseid to show up, because why wasn't he in this? It's like if Thanos, if after Iron Man 1, they had made the first Avengers movie, and Thanos was the bad guy in it. Like, just, I don't
know. No, it's not like that. It's like they would have made it, then they would have remade it with Thanos being the bad guy in it.
Here's the thing. Even if you take out like the weird CGI from the first Justice League, like the mustache removal and stuff like that, the big CGI stuff in it was not good. Steppenwolf was bad. He looked not like anything. It was not good.
That whole final sequence just looked like crap. Like the flowers coming out of the ground.
Are we fixing the plot point that we assemble the Justice League just to watch Superman beat everybody? Like, are we fixing that at all?
That might be worth $100 million to fix that. I don't know.
Because, I mean, the movie had plenty of problems. And for me, that's the big one, is we spend 2 hours assembling the Justice League just to get Superman back and watch him be faster than the Flash, stronger than Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. better at saving people than Batman, a better leader than all of them put together. I mean, like, he did everybody's job for them.
After he kicked their ass too,
right.
By the way.
Yeah.
No, I, so I, this is, I know what I know for sure. Yeah. Is that we are bringing back, like you said, Leto as Joker, not bringing back. We're putting a considerable amount of Leto as Joker to help that confusing Batman arc that was in it. We are, like you said, adding Darkseid for whatever reason to give us more reason for, the whatever is happening, which I still don't even remember fully what happened in that movie or what the motive or plot was on the bad side.
Was getting the mother boxes to
We're not super clear
on what he was trying to do,
we're adding some Kevin Costner back as a Pa Kent to somehow help the Superman arc.
The Pa Kent who's dead and told his son never to help anyone
definitely
ever.
Died.
Right.
Definitely
we need died. Flash. We need more flashbacks of that. Maybe that pulls him back. That reins him in, Adam. So that way he doesn't just take over and save everybody. It's because there's more flashbacks of him telling him not to do that stuff.
Help him. He doesn't owe humanity anything.
I don't know. And then,
I know I'm the worst offender of this, but we've hit the watershed moment now. We either need to start a DCU bashing only podcast, or we have to put a moratorium of talking about it on the Nerdcast. Because anytime we bring it up, it takes it over, which I think, but it's so, it's such an easy target. There's just so much there to unpack, because it's every move they make is the wrong move, mm-hmm. except for hiring. Here's the one thing I will say is I hope that they release the new Suicide Squad as close to this movie as fucking possible, just to show people like, oh no, you can make cool DC stuff. You just have to not let Zack Snyder do it.
Pretty much that. And we still don't even have Wonder Woman 1984. And I feel like the further and further we get away from it, the less and less excited I'm getting about it. I think more people are, because the more and more we're seeing clips, we're seeing like figures and marketing merchandise released that are giving you parts of it all. You're more and more trying. I've now had more time to think about why Chris Pine is in it and how is he in it, and just doesn't work for me, other than you have to bring back the romantic male hero to save everything, even though Patty Jenkins did such a good job of,
based on some of who the characters are in a couple scenes. There's definitely what's his name, Max, whatever, and then like the wish abilities. So I'm thinking, you're granting wishes, and it turns Barbara into Chitara, and it turns into Cheetah, and she gets to wish him back or something. I don't know. Who cares? I mean, this movie got pushed back before the pandemic, so.
Right, and then I just even added it higher on the list. The other thing that I was going to bring up for the DCEU, then we could move on for Tyler, is Black Adam, which has been removed from the calendar altogether. They're announcing, like, decisions around characters there. Dr. Fate's going to be in it, and it's like, it's going to be in what? Because it's not even on the calendar anymore. Like, it's, I don't know what is going on with the DCEU. But good news is, 2020 things or not, we never knew what was going on with the DCEU. So we all want normal in this world. Your normal.
Right. This is comforting. Right. Exactly.
I just want to go to whoever. And that's the other thing. There's still no one in charge of this. Like, I want to go to the heads of WB, you know, Warner Brothers, and say, go ahead and take half the money you were going to spend on this. Give it to the animation studios. We'll go out back. I'll kick you in the nuts and we'll call it even. All right. A little Vegas vacation there for you.
Right. I think that works.
Perfect. Well, let's get a little political for a little bit, and political more on the entertainment side. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC, last week, to almost 450,000 people, streamed on Twitch among us to raise voter awareness. Really interesting. Really exciting. Danielle, our content officer, our editor, head of the site, the web content, was super excited about it. I get a message out of nowhere. I was like, holy cool, this is really awesome. Did any of y'all catch any bits of that stream? I haven't yet.
Played Among Us?
No.
It's so much fun. We play it every now and then, but I watched a good chunk of it.
I'm seeing it pop up everywhere.
It's a lot of fun. I will say the star of the show was Representative Ilhan Omar, because she had no idea how to play the game, and then once she figured it out, she was brutal. And it was fantastic. She was a great imposter. She's murdering people right, left and right. I love it.
Pretty fun. Gives you even more excitement to be with that group over there. But probably even bigger political in the entertainment industry. So this is, if you want to talk about political headlines, things that are happening terrible, the way this week played out with Giuliani was just beautiful. Just beautiful. First of all, only one New York Post is the only one to cover this hard drive situation with Biden, to the extent Giuliani wants it covered. Everybody else is covering it, saying Giuliani's telling this story. So only one questionable news source is covering it. Giuliani and Trump are fueling it as fake news. Gets a couple day head start on that. And then the review block is lifted from the new Borat subsequent movie film. It turns out that the actress, who is 24, and just for the record, Giuliani did divorce his third wife last year in 2019. So he has three times divorced. He is not married. Does an interview with this young woman who is pretending to be 15, goes back to the hotel room with her. So we'll tell it from Giuliani's perspective. While his microphone is getting taken off of him, he asks for her phone number and address. Then he lays back on the bed to put his hand down his pants, the front part, right in the crotch, to tuck in his shirt while him and this woman are in the hotel room alone. I don't know about you guys, but anytime I wear a tucked in shirt, I always go into a room, lay down on the bed, and tuck it in, really get in there. That's how I tuck in a shirt. I don't know about the rest of you. But the best part about it is that then Borat comes running in pink lingerie, screaming, "She's too old for you. She's 15. And Giuliani then releases his statement saying, "They tried to get me, but I was too clever for them. They didn't get me." I feel like you were got there a little bit, Giuliani. Mm. I feel like you were just a little bit got there. I don't know about you guys.
The people that get the people, right, the people who can say they tried to get me but couldn't, don't end up in the movie.
You don't even say that. That's not your statement, though. Because then you're like, I almost fell for it. You almost got me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Has anyone watched it? Because
yes, I watched it.
Definitely worth it.
It is. It is.
I feel like you have to give all the titles because the title of the movie gets changed like four times throughout the course of the movie.
The first title was ridiculous. Do you have that in front of you, Ty? Because I can't remember. The first title was like 3 seconds.
Well, so like the official title of it is Borat Subsequent Movie Film, Delivery of Prodigious Bride to American Regime for Make Benefit Once Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. But on screen, when you're watching the movie, there's three titles. And the first title is Borat Gift of Sexy Monkey to Vice Premier Mikhail Pence for Make Benefit Recently Diminished Nation of Kazakhstan. But then the monkey dies. The monkey dies in a pretty funny way. So then Borat makes gift of daughter to Mikhail Pence for Make Benefit Diminished Nation of Kazakhstan. That doesn't work out. So then the final title of the movie is Borat Delivery of Sexy Gift to Rudy Giuliani and Last Ditch Attempt to Save Borat from Execution and Make Benefit Diminished Nation of Kazakhstan. That gives you a pretty good idea of the flow of the plot throughout the movie, and it's pretty fun.
Again, and even further, Giuliani's defenders, or himself, Trump and the Trump election, you know, committee, have said, well, this was all staged to distract from the hard drive. They obviously don't know how a movie is made. They, assume it was filmed, which is even disturbing because Giuliani doesn't know when he was in a hotel room with a young reporter. Like, you don't even know when this was filmed and made. And the fact that Amazon has been marketing this for 2 months for release on this weekend, like, everything about their defense just does not make sense. And what's the most disappointing part is that that MAGA army will be like, yeah, they did this to just take away from Hunter Biden's hard drive. The emails. That will be the argument, you know, because somebody like Hunter Biden, who has so much to hide, would definitely leave a computer at a hardware shop in Delaware somewhere and allow it to fall in other hands, because that would be normal. But I think it's fantastic. Borat doesn't lose a step here. It's fantastic. No. We did just show my son for the first time the first movie. And it has been, I mean, it's been a good decade plus since I've really watched that movie. And I just, there's some things you forget about, like, at least to the extent, like, you remember the nude wrestling scene in the hotel, but you forget how long it lasts, or when they get into the elevator with the people and people are just like freaking out. Or I completely forgot about the RV ride with the like frat boys who are just drunk and just are never have had a date again for the rest of their life because of what they said about women. And like you said, everything about this is just perfect timing for entertainment. It's not going to change anybody votes, right? Like, the people who support Trump, if they support Trump through the last 4 years, Trump could have done horrendous things. Nothing's going to change it. It's just good timing because there's been a lot of stressful political conversation. This was some nice, fun political commentary, I guess would be the way to put it.
Yeah, I remember 2 months ago when they were talking about this movie coming out there, at that point they said it is going to affect the election. And that's why they were working to put this out very close to the election. They said there is going to be a certain figure on Trump's campaign that it's going to affect. And I tell you, I watched that last night and, you know, I heard all about it and I saw little clips, saw just pictures and stuff like that. But when you see that sequence, that scene, you're just like going, are you shitting me? Did he actually do that? And I mean, I was watching it with my sister and my sister does not watch Borat kind of movies. She was laughing her ass off. And when that scene happened, she just covered her mouth, which is, I don't believe it. I don't believe that. But yeah, definitely. You got to see it. You have to see it.
The whole thing alone, like, is one, it's worth Amazon paying and releasing this movie.
Yes.
But two,
yes.
Two, it is just mind blowing. It in a nutshell sums up the two different people running, the two groups that are up here for, you know, election this year, that this is, mm-hmm. this is it. This is it in a nutshell. And this is what you're getting if you continue to support this side. And unfortunately, I hope it fuels more people to vote that may not have been voting. Again, it won't influence anybody who is already pro-Trump. So interesting for sure. Down the political spectrum, though, within the last couple of weeks, Netflix also released a movie, a little bit more serious movie. Also starred Cohen was the Trial of Chicago 7. Well, I'm sure Tyler saw it. That's Tyler's director there. But man, Sorkin did.
He's my writer. He's not quite my director.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Like only his second movie he's directed, and it's better than his first one, but still he's not exactly an inspired director. He's one of my favorite writers though.
Good. This movie was fantastic though. Up and down, every bit of it. I was not disappointed at all in it, for sure. Did you guys catch that one?
Yeah, that's the next one I'm gonna watch. I really want to see that.
It's really good. There's definitely some Sorkinisms in it. There's some parts that are really played for melodrama that are a little over the top, who aren't really true to what actually happened to the Chicago 7, but as a whole, it's worth a watch. It's fantastic. It's and everyone in it is the act. It's worth it just the to actors. See some of the actors in it.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt continue. I just every time he takes on a new role, he's just impressive for sure. But I agree. My kids watched it with me, and I sat them down and I told them, obviously, this is a movie. It's going to be quote based on true stories, right? So there are going to be things, but for the most part, this trial took place, and it was definitely not in their favor from the get-go, and it was really well done, and it was a interesting collection of cast too, though, that all kind of came together very well, which in its defense, the people that were on trial were definitely an interesting collection of characters as well. So I think it's fantastic. I would highly recommend it, and I hope to see it talked about come this award season.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know anything about the movie or don't even know anything about the Chicago 7, go see it just because, I mean, just off the top line, Sacha Baron Cohen, Eddie Redmayne, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Jeremy Strong, Michael Keaton, Mark Rylance, Frank Langella, and I have not even mentioned all the people you're going to recognize from it. There's a lot of really good people in it, so it's very good. And the Chicago 7 is a story everyone should know about.
Agreed, for sure. So along that, too, they released their trailer for Mank. Have you guys caught that trailer yet?
Yeah.
So it looks like a fun
interesting.
One. It's David Fincher's new one going straight to Netflix. So should be fun there, too, as well. All right, as we get low on time, we'll talk about a few quick things.
Did you describe a Fincher movie as fun?
Possibly. I don't. Tyler's been mad about the way I've described things lately in the chat. He's like, "You keep saying this thing." I don't. But no, it's. I don't know if it's gonna look fun. It stars actually even more further. I don't know if fun's the right word because it's a Fincher movie that stars Gary Oldman that talks about a very, very tremulous character, very tormented character, I guess would be a better way to put it. So yeah, that sounds fun to me, Adam. I don't know. I'd go with fun.
Sounds like a feel good movie.
Right. Iggy, yeah. Right up there with Leon the Professional, just super happy. Everything's good.
Look, that's a good movie. That's a good movie. That's I like that one.
Fun.
Look, Fight Club is a fun movie, and I'll say Fight Club is fun. And
hey, Seven.
I was going to say this is like, looks like Aronofsky level fun. You know, just really, just a good time. Grab Alien, your popcorn.
Alien 3 is fun, Adam. That's a fun movie.
That is a fun movie. I'm okay with that. But it's not the first adjective I think of to describe a Fincher movie. If Iggy had said, this looks dark and menacing, I'd been like, okay, sure, yeah. You know,
it looks good. It looks
visually
like
oppressive. Film. Okay, yeah, good movie. I'm with that.
Is that good? Yes. Is that okay? That's better. What does look fun is Reebok. So we all, that sent our group conversation off the edge is when Reebok released the Star Wars shoes, and we were all in. We were all in on those Boba Fett shoes. And of course, the bots this summer that have just been taking over the sneaker. Oh, sorry, that was Adidas. So Adidas owns Reebok, at least for a little bit longer. They're looking to sell them. Reebok is now releasing the Ghostbusters shoes, and just in time for Halloween. And whew, guys, I'm pretty stoked for these two. It's no Boba Fett.
I mean, they're fine. The Boba Fett shoes, though.
The Fett ones were out of this world, that's for sure. But the there's two different types of the Ghostbuster ones. There's ones that's more plain and kind of toned down, but then there's the ones that have like the whole like just kind of like the Fett ones where there's just kind of all kinds of accessories.
You get to wear the
Ecto
one. Yeah, it's fantastic. You
know. I don't know. They're probably going to disappear in the matter of less than half a second again.
No one will actually get any of them.
I'm not even trying. Yeah, no.
Well, you'll get them if you pay 300 plus on eBay is the problem. But other than that, it looks pretty cool. Go check them out for sure. Obviously, who added the Meg to our paper?
I just heard that it was coming. That was a thing. I just found out about this. They're making a Meg 2, man.
Did you watch the first one, Iggy?
I've seen the first one 12 times because she is now 10. She is now 10. That is one of Evie's favorite movies of 2000. I don't remember if it came out before 2019, but all of last year.
Oh my God. I love that.
She wanted to watch that movie over and over and over again. And she would get so excited about the scene where they thought they blew it up and they're in the open water. And she would like tap me after I've seen it like 5 times to tell me to watch out for what's coming. And I'm like, Evie, oh my gosh, I cannot do this movie anymore. Luckily, it has fallen by the wayside and she has forgotten about it. But now with the second one coming out, it's going to be back in my life. Adam, you said, did I watch it? Like you're defending it.
That's a fun movie. That's a fun movie, buddy.
So my question
is. Do it. Say the word, Adam. Say the word, Iggy. Say the word. You know you want to say it. What kind of movie
is it? Watchable? Is it watchable movie? What's the word?
It's a popcorn movie.
Oh, it's popcorn. That's a popcorn flick, right? That's Bob's. Mine was watchable. I called Batman and Robin watchable.
Oh.
I do think they had originally this, like the subtitle was something I think real dumb, but now it's titled The Meg 2, The Trench, and it's going to a darker tone and possibly an R rating this time.
Oh, sorry, Evie.
Well,
watch it.
Well,
you know, a new director and a new director this time.
Well, Tyler should know this. I mean, The Meg is actually a series of books.
It is a series of books. I've never read them, but it is a series of books. And there's like 12
Tyler,
of them.
Yeah. Tyler listed all the titles that when we first talked about this movie, and some of those titles were like ridiculous. We talked
one of them is like The Meg Spring Break or something like that. they get real weird.
That sounds like a fun one.
It's watchable, probably. It's watchable for sure.
My popcorn. I don't know.
All right. Some more quick hits too. It looks like Smashing Pumpkins releasing.
So
is that also
this
Tyler?
Came out while we were on the air, like while we were recording this, an alert popped up. Apparently the Smashing Pumpkins have announced that they're releasing a sequel to Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Is it just Smashing Pumpkins 2020?
I mean, I don't know.
The title for it?
No, but it said, Consequence of Sound put up a thing and says on the 25th anniversary, they're going to be releasing a sequel concept album to both It and Machina. So I don't know. I went and saw them recently in concert and it was like 3 hours long. And I really like Smashing Pumpkins, but I don't know that I could do 3 hours of it again.
Wow. This last weekend too was the third Record Store Day because they split it out, and then you have Black Friday as the final one. Last weekend was the Eminem album. Black Friday, you get Beastie Boys on some vinyl. So if you are thinking about music, that's also to check it out. Maybe why that announcement came out this weekend. Kind of.
I'm thinking about music.
I did see some Beastie Boys albums this past weekend. Yeah.
Well, it's good to pick up Beastie Boys vinyl. Okay. But you guys will be happy. Next summer, 2021, July 9th, here in beautiful, hopefully sunny London, I will be seeing Pearl Jam and the Pixies. So if you guys want to come on over.
That's tempting right there.
Sleeping bags for the floor, is that what we need?
Two of you can share my couch, which pulls out into a reasonably sized bed.
Claimed. We got it. We get the couch.
Done and done. Would you call yourself the pull-out king? Are you guys Portlandia fans?
Yeah, but don't do
this
that.
Podcast.
Yeah, but that's just
speaking of that,
Jeff Goldblum as the pullout king is one of my favorite sketches in the history of Portlandia.
Apparently, the Run the Jewels are in a sketch on Portlandia. I didn't even know about that till my son pointed it out that they were watching an episode recently, and it's Run the Jewels in there. So,
like everyone was on Portlandia, but no one watched.
Obviously,
it was on IFC.
Right,
it was on IFC. So, but it's such a good show.
Perfect. So, last quick hit here is Creed 3 in talks, which. I mean, it obviously was going to be, but this time Michael B. Jordan wants to take on directing as well. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Let him do what he wants. He's earned it. He can do what he wants.
He's a bright kid. He knows good movies because he keeps picking good ones to be in. So I'm willing to give it a shot.
The first two are really good, actually. I was really shocked with Creed and Creed 2.
Anytime you hear him talk about his art or how he chooses movies or anything about his career, like he has a plan. He's got it figured out. He knows what he's doing. Like, let him do whatever he wants. He's got it figured out.
Right. All right. And before we head into some final thoughts here, obviously, film festivals are happening all over the place digitally. We're covering them. Head on over to projectnerd.com, project/nerd.com. Check out all the interviews we're covering. Denver Film Festival opened up this weekend. Bob, I saw that you sent over a couple of reviews. So you got some reviews started. I've got some screeners coming in. If you're in the Colorado area, you can check it out. Pretty much all the movies. If you're outside of Colorado, make sure you see before you choose to pre-order or purchase a view online, make sure you are in the area. Cause obviously with film festivals, there are restrictions with some of these movies that are, on the circuit and have sold to studios. So really interesting there. Of course, the Colorado film festivals that we've worked with in the past years. We're working with them again this year and have tons of interviews coming out. Some fun stuff happening there. Be sure to check it all out. More and more podcasts happening. Again, I am just going to bring it up one more time. You got to go vote. If you want to hear some more me get into political things, head on over to our Diving Deep podcast right on this very feed or over at projectnerd.com/podcast covering racial injustice, conspiracy theories, the Supreme Court. And then this week's episode will be all about voting. Gentlemen, we've got a handful of minutes here. We haven't heard what you guys have been up to lately. So let's talk. What have we been watching? Let's put some spunk into it. I know you guys have been playing some video games. I know Tyler's probably read a million books. What's going on in your guys' world? Bob, we haven't heard from you in a long time. Why don't we start with you?
Well, like I said, moved to Kansas City. The Blu-ray collection has not stopped. Thank God studios are letting out a lot of the older titles. And I know this past week I picked up the Back to the Future trilogy. Looks fantastic. Sounds amazing.
That's on 4K, right?
It's on 4K. You know, you mentioned I did a couple reviews for Denver Film Festival. And one of them, I don't know how much I can mention it, was a film called Bleeding Audio. And if you guys know the group, The Matches, they're a punk group out of Oakland, kind of through the early 2000s. I actually worked one of their shows at Verizon Amphitheater when they toured on the Warped Tour. And this documentary kind of covers them from beginning to end to beginning again. And it is absolutely fantastic. It is probably one of the best rock documentaries I've ever seen.
Really?
It is, and it made me go on Amazon Music and download their four albums. That movie is that good, and their music is that much fun.
Well, Bob's so review will be it. Out on the, yeah, your review will be out on the site this week. I don't know when the interview is happening. I think Quentin took on that interview. So that interview will be going live in the next few weeks too on the site. So stay tuned to Project Nerd for more of Bob's opinion, full detailed opinion on it. Obviously check out the interview. And again, right now it's at the Denver Film Festival. It's shown at a couple other film festivals too. So if you aren't in the Colorado area and can't stream it for part of DFF, make sure you just keep an eye on it, because obviously it will get a wide release very soon. All right. It's great information to know too. I'm really interested to see it because I'm the one who had to forward you the link. So I do have access to that link. I might have to check it out myself. I don't know.
Yeah, we definitely have to watch it.
All right, Adam, what do you got for us? What have you been up to?
You know, doing all sorts of stuff, watching TV with the wife, playing video games. Yeah, I'm still trying to finish Ghost of Tsushima. That game is just really big and there's so much to do. So I'm still working my way through that. Also rereading old books. There's nothing more comforting than picking up a book and reading it again a second time. And right now when things are a little crazy and wild in the world like they are, a nice comforting book is absolutely perfect. So find a book series that you enjoy, pick it up, start it again, and just, relax a little bit. You know, take some time for yourself, guys. It's okay. You can do that still. That's what I got.
All right. Tyler, what's happening in your world?
A few things. I've been watching a couple things. I decided finally to sit down and watch The Lower Decks, the animated Star Trek show on CBS All Access. If you're a big Star Trek nerd, it's hilarious. They do a lot of deep cuts, a lot of deconstruction of all the tropes of Star Trek world. As far as things I've been watching on TV, streaming, other than that, there's a new season of Great British Bake Off, which is my like comfort food when I'm doing other things. I fucking love that show. It's amazing. I love them making all the sponges and all the breads and all the, I don't even care. I'll just watch that all the time. And we always talk about old comfort food movies, like watching a lot of old stuff in quarantine. One of my favorite underappreciated movies of all time has been added to Netflix this month, and it is the Will Ferrell classic Stranger Than Fiction. If you've never seen it, go and watch it. I love that movie.
Showed
so
that to
much
the kids this summer. Yeah.
And then books, I've read a couple things recently. Right now I'm reading The Angel of Crows by Catherine Addison. She's the author of The Goblin Emperor, which is a finalist for the Hugo a few years back, and was a book I really, really liked. I've only about halfway through Angel of Crows. It's really good. And video game wise I broke down and I bought the early access edition of Baldur's Gate 3 and have been playing that, and it's if you like Baldur's Gate games, it's right there.
Cool. Why did we finish The Boys season 2, which I'm sure most of us have. Woof. A little bit more off the rails. I think, Tyler, I think our Black Noir thing's not, it's not going to follow the way it did in the comics. It's not looking that way. So I went ahead and gave Erin those comic spoilers. And that would be funny if it happens in season 3, since I told her. But my son's watching it now. So I'm kind of rewatching it, more watching his reactions at certain points throughout the season. Like, so we were sitting on the couch at the end of the season 1 finale. And I'm like, watch him, and just watch his reaction at the end of that. Of course, we did take we're going through Star Wars again. We took my kids wanted to take Erin through the MCU, which we finished the entire MCU run, so it was good. And we've started Star Wars, so we have watched the prequel trilogy, gotten that out of the way. We'll head on into I think some Rogue One here, and get the, yeah, I know, right? I love that one. But reading wise, Layer Cake, I picked it up at like a thrift store a while back, and I'm like, I want to watch that again. So I'm going to give it a read first and watch it through. Really good. Not doing a lot of video game stuff too. Not doing a lot of movie watching. Like I said, checked out the Trial of Chicago 7 was fantastic on Netflix. So that was definitely one I'd recommend. And then this weekend you know, after those stressful weeks and with everything going on, it was just throwing on some old comedies. I think we caught glimpses of Old School and Our Idiot Brother, which I know is a favorite of Adam's. And
Yeah, I love that movie.
Right. And after watching that, I wanted to watch I Love You, Man, but it's nowhere on any of the streaming for free. So I have to wait till I get back home to pop the Blu-ray in, because that's another good Paul Rudd one. Yeah, just kind of as a, what were you calling it, Tyler? Comfort food, doing some of those like just lighthearted comedy ones.
Right? Speaking of Star Wars, though, we've had one thing we totally
we did watch. I did. Go ahead. But I did want to say real quick, I have checked out the Lower Decks as well. It is the first episode takes a minute, but at the end it gets, and then after that it's pretty
good. They keep getting so much better. And the references they make to old like TNG episodes or old original series episodes are just brilliant.
It's pretty
good.
Just
like some Star Trek deep cuts. But no, before we meet again, by the end of this week, Mandalorian will season 2 will have started worldwide,
yeah, right,
on the 30th, this coming Friday,
right?
I'm so excited.
Worth getting excited for, that's for sure. So yeah, check it out, Mandalorian season 2 happening. If you haven't checked out season 1, obviously it's all available on Disney Plus.
If you haven't checked out season 1, what the hell are you doing listening to this podcast?
But hold on, Adam, did you get season 2 at the same time as this time?
He does. It's worldwide this time.
Yeah.
Oh, you did say that. You did just say that, Tyler. Right. Yeah, so
I've got to decide if I'm going to
I say worldwide. It's I don't know if it's necessarily worldwide, but it definitely is launching in the UK the same time as it's launching in the US, yeah. Which is...
I was going to say I could give you my login.
It's worldwide as it needs to be for the four of us.
No, you can't.
You're going to have to set up a proxy to get my login, I guess. I don't know. But yeah. All right. Well, obviously, everybody, one last time, cannot stress the importance of this. Go vote. Just vote. Again, it's not even just about the president. The Senate races in some of these states are huge. Mm-hmm. And some of the other topics we got going up in Illinois, we're talking about changes to the taxes. Alaska, Montana, talking about the way they're going to change the way that, the votes count. Florida, going to open up primaries possibly and then add in the top two to where it could be in your general election. You could have two Democrats or two Republicans going at each other because the top two vote getters will get through. We have abortion stuff on the bill here in Colorado. We're talking, I think, 7 states possibly adding a PAC to go towards the general vote as opposed to the Electoral College. All kinds of important things, local even, that we can't even go into all the counties and city-like things that are happening. So obviously, go vote. It's super important. And be sure you're checking out all the Project Nerd Pack podcasts and all the interviews we're doing right now. We're putting out tons of content across our podcast network and YouTube. So head on over to projectnerd.com, project/nerd.com. If you hit /podcast, or if you go to Contour, you're going to be able to see some of that awesome content coming out to you, much more than Nerdcast. High Five's got some big things coming around the corner. Like I mentioned, Diving Deep's covering stuff. Podcast Unreal, we gave it a trial run this summer. You guys loved it. We're going to get that moving again. So a lot of fun stuff happening. Be sure to check it out. And once again, as always, thank you to our sponsors, Geek Garage, geek-garage.com. Go check that out. Batmobile 2.0. Detailed pictures happening there. Man, that Corvette getting built up into a Batmobile. I'm all for it. All right, guys. That's it. 235, we're out. We will catch you next time for episode 236.
Go vote.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.